Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. How's it going today, Scott?
Oh, it goes. You know, I'm still trying to consume all of these videos you made me watch for homework.
Yeah, there were a few of those out there. What were all these videos from that I so lovingly assigned you in your homework?
These were from the 2017 SharePoint Virtual Summit, not to be confused with the 2016 May the 4th Be With You event. You know, they seem to be doing these once a year now, which is awesome. Product team getting out a little bit. And the product group coming out and saying, here's all the great new things that we have coming with OneDrive, SharePoint, both online and on-premises. So some really fun stuff coming down the road in just a little bit.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's only appropriate then that we go talk about all this new SharePoint goodness that we now have in Office 365, or will in theory have over the course of the next year. It sounded like from a lot of the announcements, it spanned a whole time range from, hey, some of these you might start seeing in a couple weeks, a month or so, all the way up to around Ignite timeframe. It sounded like, I got the feeling that most of this they wanted to get out before Ignite in September.
Yeah, some of this might even pass Ignite, depending on when they get that next Windows release out and ready to go, because there's some dependencies on client OSs now, right? We're not just in web browsers anymore. They're baking some functionality back into the OS side of things.
Yeah, you want to start off with that one? So what are they baking into the OS side of things this fall?
So there's some nice changes coming to OneDrive and OneDrive for Business. And really that nice change is they're bringing back some functionality that they got rid of a while ago that used to be in OneDrive and they took away. So they used to have a capability to do things like virtual files. So show me all of the files that exist in my OneDrive or OneDrive for Business in this case, but don't necessarily provision them all down to my device. So as OneDrives continue to increase in size, we start our users out with a terabyte of space. And then in today's world, you can bump them up to about 5 terabytes and we get more mobile. Not many people have 5 terabyte disks sitting in their mobile devices, whether it's a laptop or a tablet or anything like that. Visibility to everything that you had out there was a bit of an issue. So they've gone ahead and they're going to have a files on demand capability coming back in. So effectively, thin provisioning from the end user side, you'll be able to see all the files that exist in your OneDrive for Business, and on demand, they will download to your device as needed, or you can pin files to your device as well. It'll be interesting from the end user side, brings a lot more, I think, puts a lot more management on end users, right? So remember which things you've pinned, because, you know, if you get on that plane and it wasn't there or you didn't download it ahead of time, then sorry, you know, maybe they don't have Wi-Fi or whatever for you to get it. At the end of the day, it's going to be some really good functionality to have back in there. So that's going to be baked into Windows 10. It's going to be tied into the version of OneDrive that's baked into the OS. So no Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 client releases for that functionality. And they also mentioned the word Mac in there. So we'll see what they do with the OneDrive client on Mac and how that one works out.
Yeah, I would love to get it for the Mac. Being a Mac guy, I was hoping to see a little bit more definitive news around if that was going to come to the Mac or not. I know Dropbox has brought it in their business plans. Now they have something very similar to this. So in theory, that means it should be possible to bring to the Mac. If Dropbox can do it, Microsoft can do it, right?
Sure. We'll see. For some of that cross-platform stuff, they did commit to bringing certain other features along. So if you don't get files on demand, you will pick up the new sharing experience and all the goodness that comes with that. You want to talk about that one a little bit?
Yeah. So that one is actually baking that whole sharing experience that you used to only have in the browser right into your file system. So now both on Mac and Windows, sounds like June, July timeframe is kind of what they're targeting. You'll be able to take any of those files stored on OneDrive for Business or sync down to your client OS, again, Windows 10 or Mac, right click on it, and now have those sharing features built right in there. So you can directly share a file with somebody outside your organization, even configure who an item is shared with, get an anonymous link. All of that sharing functionality built right into the OS, right into the file menu now, if you right-click on a file. So hopefully, at least from an end-user perspective, it'll make it a little bit easier, quicker to manage. If you do have some of those files synced, you're not having to go out to your browser just to share files. You just do it right from within the OS now.
Yeah, they're effectively web views, right? So I think it's a little disingenuous to say it's built into the OS. They're just popping up web windows. It's just you're not popping up your whole tab in Internet Explorer. But it is cleaned up. The interface is a little bit better. I think they degraded it in some ways. Like I was watching the demo for time-based links, right? So we have expirations on links, the default to 90 days if you haven't changed that in your tenancy. And today you set that by a number of days. And it looked like they changed that UI to be an actual date picker, which means users have to do date time math in their head. And that seems like a horrible idea. We'll see how it ends up baking when it comes out.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely like just being able to set a number of days. I can see where the date picker could come in handy if you're like, hey, a project expires on this day or they need to review it by a certain day. Sometimes it could be nice to say, oh, it's two Fridays from now. We're on May 27. This link has to expire. So either way, you're going to have to do some date time math in your head no matter which way they do it. It just kind of depends on what your mindset is when you go into that whole sharing.
Yeah, they're going to have to think about how they do defaults and things like that. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see where it all kind of pans out. It looked, just based on the way they demoed it, it was actually not a great demo because they came out and they said, well, look what happens when you go past this date. It gives you an error message. It's like, yeah, but how do I know that date, how do I know my organization? Do I know is my organization 14 days or is it 90 days or is it 15 days? So again, you're putting a lot of stuff back on the end user side there where it seems like it's just ripe for making that experience better for them at the end of the day.
We just need both options. You can either set it by number of days or a date picker. There we go. Problem solved. Give them everything.
So what else is there? OneDrive for Business? I mean, there's got to be more than that, right?
There was a little bit more than that. The next one, probably bigger for our audience, is going to be some of the new admin stuff in SharePoint Online. So they're actually bringing another whole new admin interface to SharePoint Online administration. So this isn't Office 365, the admin center as a whole, but just rather that SharePoint admin center. So bringing the whole modern UI experience feel into the modern admin center, as well as bringing some features there. One of the big things is now all of your site collections will show up when you look at the sites and central admin. So this includes those team sites / group sites, all of your site collections that whether you provisioned them as a site collection or whether you provisioned them via groups or teams or a Yammer group, they'll all be there now.
Yeah, you'll be able to create views and group by template, which will be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get visibility across all that, right? So some of those reports from the Global Admin Center are going to be coming down and coming into the SharePoint Admin Center. So if you have users who are in those roles today where they're not global admins, but they are SharePoint admins in your tenant, they'll start to get access to that data as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And some of the ability you have to group and filter and sort those sites now, like you said, create your own views. It may sound kind of bizarre now when you're looking at site collections, you're like, why would I want to create my own views of site collections? But they're almost bringing like that list metadata experience into that site collection list where I know classification they recently rolled out, so you'll be able to see that site classification in that site list. Like you said, site templates. You can see site owners. It'll even give you sharing status, whether that site collection is not allowed to share at all, shared externally, anonymous access. It even shows you last activity. So now you can sort by last activity on a site collection. So you can say, hey, I have a site collection out here. There hasn't been any activity on it for 2 years. Do we really still need this around? So they're bringing a lot of different metadata into that site collection list to allow you a lot more flexibility in how you want to view what site collections you have out there, how they're classified again, how they're shared, all that type of stuff. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that made for a great demo. So where I bashed that OneDrive sharing one earlier, like this was really good, right? Come in, be able to, in the future, create your own views. So maybe I want to see, like you said, now that I have visibility into all those group sites, maybe I want to see all the groups that are effectively orphaned or dead out there and don't have usage in their SharePoint sites. And also, one of the really cool things they had as they walked through that demo was kind of one-click access to contact site owners and say, hey, do you really need this? What's going on? Really start to walk down that like manual disposition path if you're an admin and you want to keep things clean across your kind of tenant and pooled storage and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited to get this. I think this will be a really good update. And again, like you said, some of those reports too, now being able to see different file activity, you can see file activity by files that are viewed, edited. You can see reports of just file activity based on files that are synced down or shared. There's some nice reports that are going to start coming right into that SharePoint Admin Center.
Yeah, it looks like it renders a lot better. Who knows? It might even render on mobile if they get it right, which would be awesome. Be able to get to some of that stuff on the go. They updated all the settings pages. They're kind of coming over to that blade-ish UI, you know, nice, really big Office Fabric buttons and all that other stuff. So that'll be nice to see as well. Consolidation and simplification of settings. You know, if you're an on-prem SharePoint admin, you're going to feel like a bunch of stuff just got taken away from you. But that's the power of the cloud and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that comment we made in the last episode about some of those admin site or admin pages for administering different SharePoint stuff being identical to the on-prem ones where they just kind of hijack the UI. You can forget all that now. It's all going to change.
Yeah. One of the other cool things that got built out, and we talked about this back in the MAM episode, conditional access. So they're bringing some new things to conditional access, including shorter session lengths from unmanaged devices, and also conditional access by site collection. So if you don't need really restrictive policies for your whole tenant, but maybe you have some sensitive data, HR, something like that, it has some HIPAA stuff, or you know, you've got PII, anything out there, you can have more restrictive policies in those areas and continue to operate a little bit more freeform in some other places, which is super cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. Another one that I didn't think got enough attention that was in one of those videos was this whole multi-geo support for SharePoint Online.
Well, it was multi-geo support for OneDrive for Business, right?
Yes, that's correct. And I don't know if it's coming to site collections or not. But yeah, it was more the OneDrive for Business aspect of it, where now you can actually assign regions to your tenant. So I know you guys are all over the place. I work for some clients that are distributed across the globe. So now you can go in and add different regions to your tenants. So if you have a bunch of employees over in maybe Asia and a bunch in the US, you can go in, assign Asia as a region to your tenant, and then assign those users over in Asia to your tenant. And then you can actually set up different policies like around sharing based on those regions. I know this is to comply with some of the regulations, especially when you get into having data in different countries, data sovereignty, some of the EU stuff. But this allows you to say, okay, all my Asia users, they're in that Asia region and they're not allowed to share anywhere. But all my US-based employees, they're based in that US region. They can share wherever they want to externally. So bring some of that support in for those companies that are distributed across the globe and may have different policies, compliance scenarios they need to adhere to.
It's one of those things that begs for some future updates. So as demoed, right, super nifty. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to assign a specific user. So you know what, Ben, you're moving to Costa Rica. So congrats. So I'm going to go ahead and assign you to Costa Rica and it's going to be something that's tied to you at the SharePoint level. But I already know that you sit in Costa Rica or El Salvador or Hong Kong or anything else like that based on your usage location, right? I already set that as a part of your profile, hopefully, when I set you up. So tied to your license, I know that you're in the US or someplace else. So I would love to see some more automation here later on down the road where I could do something like say, hey, take all my users in Central America. So if you're in these countries and just go ahead and auto provision their OneDrives over in these places, as long as, you know, legal departments buy into the data sovereignty and features and functionality and all that good stuff that comes up. One of the things also that's going to come along with this is you're going to have to assign the regions to your tenant. So by default, you'll just be in your kind of tenant provisioned region. So if you're in the US data center today, you would see a North American region, and then you'll have to go and add others from there. And it also wasn't very clear if you could target certain data centers, you know, how that's all going to come into play, right? So Azure has a bunch of data centers. I think they're up to like 36 or 38. Office has a bunch of data centers. So when I say deploy into the, you know, say you're in Europe today, you're in EMEA and you want to deploy into the US, well, there's like four data center regions in the US, but we call it all North America. And, you know, Office 365 runs out of a couple different data centers here. So it'd be nice to even start to see some granularity there, right? Like US South versus US North, things like that.
Yeah. That would be nice. So there was one other feature that, based on the videos, is actually available in preview now. This might have actually been the only one that was in preview as of the time of the summit yesterday. But that was this whole bring your own encryption key to Office 365 SharePoint Online. What was that one all about?
I love this functionality. So there's a piece in Azure called the Key Vault, where you can store your cryptographic keys, right? So you might use it for things like storing like service principal passwords or something like that. But you can effectively store the certificate or the key that is controlled to encrypt your data within Microsoft's data centers. So in today's world, when you provision an SPO tenant or really an Office 365 tenant, your data is encrypted in storage or encrypted at rest. It's encrypted in transit, all that kind of stuff. Microsoft owns the keys. So ultimately, if you are super duper paranoid or that's something that you're not allowed to do based on your business and your requirements, Microsoft could really go and unencrypt that data that's stored in an Azure blob someplace or in a SQL database someplace. In this world, if you enable this functionality, you are the keeper of those keys. So you explicitly assign those keys to your SharePoint data in Office 365. And, you know, like you said, at any time, if you go ahead and revoke that key, not only can you not get to your data anymore, but Microsoft can't either. So if you're in the ecosystem and you're thinking, well, hey, what happens if we ever leave Microsoft or we leave Office 365? What happens to my data? You know, I really don't trust they're going to delete it, wipe the hard drives and all that good kind of stuff. In this world, you would just revoke a key and that's it. Bunch of upsides. You've also got to be careful with this, right? This is one of those Peter Parker kind of things. With great power comes great responsibility. You know, you can't revoke the key while it's in use or else you're not going to be able to get to your data yourself. I think it was great the way they laid out the demo and had it all out there. Super easy to consume and kind of wrap your head around.
Yep. And as an admin too, if you do want to apply this, completely seamless to your end users. It's not going to change their experience. It's not going to change how they access their data. You can go in, apply it at any time. Nobody's going to be any the wiser.
Correct. Just don't revoke that sucker because weird things will happen. Unless you're totally gone out of Office 365, then it's okay. Have fun.
Yeah. And you're putting a lot of trust in Microsoft that they're going to have good backups, redundancy, all of that, that key's just not going to randomly disappear on you one day. That would lead to an interesting experience as well.
Well, that's why we have SLAs and we follow the service descriptions and we know what we paid for, right?
Exactly. So another new feature that they announced yesterday was this idea of community sites, or not community sites, rather communication sites in Office 365. So up until now, essentially everything you have in SharePoint Online is a team site. It's geared towards the collaboration side of things, storing documents, calendars, lists, the whole groups, teams mindset where you have data you want to collaborate around. Now you're going to also have the option to spin up communication sites in Office 365 and your SharePoint Online tenant. And this is the idea that these are a lot more, instead of the collaboration being a lot more of the one-to-many, the intranet type, the news type, where you want to communicate with your end users. So they have different design, different layouts that you can have for these communication sites, as well as in the future, you'll be able to custom design your own, have your own communication site template that you create as a company and give that to your users to put out there to use as well when they create these communication sites. Again, super flexible here in terms of just laying out different web parts, giving different layouts. You have this idea of sections where instead of just being maybe a column wide all the way down the page, you can have one section that's maybe the whole width of the page, another section that's three columns, another section that's two columns, maybe another section that's a wider column on the left, a narrow one on the right. A lot of flexibility there in laying it out, as well as some new web parts that they're going to start coming out with on these sites, as well as probably be able to use them on team sites, really based on that whole SharePoint framework. Yammer is making a comeback. Now we have embedded Yammer discussion web parts. I know there's some additional analytics web parts coming, some Power BI web parts coming, a bunch of that that's going to come to allow you to put a lot more content on your page, just make this a nice, rich feel. In addition, all of these communication sites, a good responsive layout. So now I can go into my mobile device, open up these sites on my mobile device, on my desktop. Based on the demo, you get a really nice experience no matter which device you open up these communication sites on.
Yeah, if you've ever done branding of SharePoint in the past, you can think of these, I think, as at least the way they were pitched, kind of next-gen sort of kind of publishing sites. And if you thought about publishing sites with publishing pages and web part pages, and then you had zones and web part layouts and all the other things and web part zones and everything that went into that, these are way slicker, way more flexible, like you said, fully responsive, ready to go, very much that modern UI, right? Everything's nice and blocky and just kind of sitting there waiting to come up. So I think they'll be really neat as they come along. It'll be interesting to see what else they come up with as far as structure outside of the pages themselves. So thinking about like navigation experiences, right? I see a lot of organizations that go and do things like custom menus, mega menus particularly, right? That seems to be something that a lot of people do on their intranets. And there's nothing built into SharePoint for that today. So you've still got some customization and other things to do. You mentioned SharePoint framework. So there's some good things that are coming down the pipe there. They're going to have some contracts with developers as far as name divs on pages and things like that. They actually had a really good discussion with Vesa on the other cloud podcast that AC and CJ do. So we should put some links to that in the notes as well, where they talk about this whole new branding experience, kind of where SharePoint framework fits into it and where Microsoft sees it from a product side.
Yeah, definitely. Like we said, we're not going to dive into that dev stuff. Go listen to AC, CJ's podcast. They'll cover a lot more of that dev stuff. I'm going to talk about Yammer. Yammer surprised me. Yammer got a lot of coverage. It even has its own video in the Microsoft Mechanics playlist for this event. And how much Yammer keeps coming up. I know some of us keep hoping it'll go away. Sometimes it feels like it's doing the exact opposite. It's trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, this was interesting because none of this was new. We've had the ability to embed Yammer conversations for a while now. They're just bringing the web part back. So they took that web part away and we've been embedding with embed code. So guess what? Now there's a web part for it. Yay, it's back. Some of the things that they had in that video, so attaching files to SharePoint and OneDrive directly to Yammer, well, that's because Yammer groups are now Office 365 groups and they come with SharePoint storage and all that other stuff. You know, they talked a lot about that integration between Office 365 and Yammer groups. But again, we already knew that was coming and it was out there. And then it was really weird to watch the demo on dynamic membership because really all of your groups in Office 365 can have dynamic membership. It's not just Yammer groups, right? So it's like trying to make this really weird sell for features and functionality that we already have all over the place.
Yeah, I agree. I looked at that and I was like, some of this is new, but some of it, like you said, it only makes sense because Yammer groups are now Office 365 groups, which are now groups in Azure AD. So by default, all that group functionality just comes to Yammer groups.
Yeah. I mean, Yammer's Yammer, right? It's going to be there, but really we're talking about Yammer groups that become Office 365 groups. So new management plane, new way to think about them. And it's definitely worth thinking about them kind of in those new constructs and everything that goes along there. They had a really cool demo around Power Apps. They actually came out. So Chris McNulty came out and said, Power Apps is the official replacement now for InfoPath. So everybody that's been looking for a path forward. So Power Apps is kind of becoming the end all be all. It's going to be InfoPath's replacement. It's going to be Access Web Apps replacement. Who knows what else down the road, right?
Yeah, I've played with it. I still struggle with it, but hey, it's the InfoPath replacement, so we better get used to it, figure it out, and see what they can do going forward.
We shall see what happens.
Yeah. There were a couple nice announcements too around team sites. Some in the modern UI now, when you're looking at document libraries, filter pane that kind of slides in a blade coming in from the right side. There's going to be some updates to navigation to make that quick launch navigation in the left side a little bit easier to customize, stylize, a refresh to how you do some custom styling and colors, and some of those additional templates too that we talked about with communication sites. You'll be able to create your own custom team site templates now that you can use when provisioning a team site. Oh, and then maybe the biggest one is something I know a lot of people have been asking for, is that ability to now connect existing team sites to a group. So you don't have to go now from groups getting a team site. You can take some of those team sites that are already in existence, add them to a group.
Yeah, I'm glad they made that a manual process. They had talked about automating that at one point, and that was going to be a really weird thing. So it'll be nice. Like you said, we can all kind of grow into that experience as needed.
Yeah. I think that about wraps it up. Again, that's a good overview of the summit yesterday. We'll have a bunch of links to some of these videos, some of these topics, blog posts in the show notes. So feel free to go check out those to watch the videos, see some of those demos.
Perfect. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Not a problem. Thank you, Scott. And we will talk to you later.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.